Greetings, everybody listening in on the internet, all across, wherever you are. My name is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night conference call. And if you're listening in for the first time, and you happen to be one of the overflow people who are listening to the right show, which I didn't listen to, this is kind of a change of pace. BBS Radio lines up a lot of different people, one after the other, and you may find me interesting. You might listen for a bit. You'll have to open yourself up to the possibility that there are the possibility, you don't have to believe it, just the possibility that there is intelligence in other realms. That's people checking in. There's intelligence in other realms that can communicate into this realm, and there are certain people that have certain kinds of gifts that allow them to be a voice for this intelligence. And I happen to know some of those people that have those gifts, and we have a conversation on this call with a voice that identifies itself by the name Ra'an, and supposedly this is part of the group energy that created this realm. So we have conversations with them about all kinds of different and interesting things. And this is our third call on the creation of DNA and its connection with evolution. So, if you're listening for the first time, you'll probably say, what the heck is going on here? So, that's fine. And this is an unusual perspective on life. And this is an unusual thing to be doing a call like this and putting this out into the public. So, let me start off. I'm going to make my intro fairly fast today, because everyone's complaining about me. I say, why don't you let them talk? So,
all callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
You know, it helps us to get the energies together. Now, what we're doing on this call is not only having a communication with an intelligence in another realm, we're also creating... how do I explain this? We're also creating anchor points for energy of other realms into this realm. And the anchor points are actually people. People on the line that keep coming back start to anchor energy. And so, simultaneously with having these conversations, we're anchoring energy all over the place. So, I'd like to let some of those people who are on our conference line say their name and the city. We have a few people that have checked in, so if you're on the East Coast only, and you're a male, why don't you say your name and your city? How about if you're a female?
Mary Kay in Long Beach.
Hi, Mary Kay. Hey, Mary Kay, thank you for offering to volunteer.
Well, I'm thrilled to do it.
No,
it was your Sunday, but I didn't want to disturb your train of thought, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just prepared. I usually drive people crazy, okay?
Well, I do too, so that's...
We're going to either love each other or we'll have to fight in the aisle. I'll probably be the former. I'm going to be at the Conscious Life Expo this coming weekend in Los Angeles, and Mary Kay's in Long Beach, so she offered to come help at our booth. Who else is on the line? Females only. Women only. Okay, men only.
Hi, man, this is Heise.
Hi, Heise. Heise is my producer. You make sure I keep talking.
Your cell phone signal is not so strong.
Is that better now?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. you know, one of the things that one needs a producer for is that the talent is either breathing too heavily into the bike or too far away from it. And in the worst case, they fall asleep and somebody has to wake them up. That hasn't happened yet. Anyone else on the line want to say hello?
Well, I'm Bill from Denver. I read your book on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce many years ago. I thought I'd just check up and see what's going on with you, Ren.
Well, thank you. Thank you for showing up. Have you read any of my story about how everyone started talking to me while I was writing the book?
Oh, just a bit recently. I happen to be a moderator on Divine Cosmos.
Oh, well, really?
Yes. I'm known as Billy Bob Butterball.
Pardon me?
I'm known as Billy Bob Butterball.
Billy Bob Butterball.
Yeah, I figured nobody could take me too seriously with a name like that.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. How did you find out about our call? Did you just see it on PBS?
I can't remember. I mean, of course, I've been aware of your work somewhat, but, you know, somehow I just ran across something, and I started pursuing it, listening to some of your talks, and got on your website and checking you out. So it's a different angle on things.
Well, I'm very honored to have you. You know, my initial interest in David Wilcock, for those of you that are listening on the radio, I wrote a book about David Wilcock called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Mm-hmm. And I had run into David's website in the year 2000, and although he never outrightly said he was Edgar Cayce, he said he had a resonance with Edgar Cayce. And I had been a big fan of Edgar Cayce's years ago, read many, many books, and I read the story where David had told about his resonance. And I was absolutely sure he was the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And also, he was sure he was the reincarnation of Cayce, but he really didn't want to say it. It was so controversial. So I made a very deep study of David's channelings at that time. And he was channeling a voice, an intelligence, that identified itself as the Ra group, right? You're aware of this, right, Bill?
Well, sure, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was very wise and very profound, and it was explaining this dimensional shift that's happening, and that was my first introduction to the idea that there's something going on our planet that's different right now. And I was in the middle of writing this book, first introduced to David somewhere around 1999 to 2000, and 2 years into it, in 2002, I had a new, I'm not supposed to call her a girlfriend, I'm not supposed to use that word, I had a new personal relationship, and we were taking a drive, and I was pouring rain, and I did a prayer protection, and at the end of the prayer, I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And I felt like a joke because I was writing this book. And she answered, it seemed like, I thought she was joking, but she was channeling on the spot. And the next 6 months, she would kind of hit me on the shoulder and say, those guys want to talk to you again. Got to mute everybody. Okay.
Their names are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So in any case, she left me. I have another friend who's on the line, a very dear old friend who suddenly picked up where the first person left off. And it's been going on for about 8 years. And when it first started, you know, after studying David's work and Carla Ruckert's work, I had a initial concern that how do I know this is positive? And I wasn't sure. But they didn't ask me to do anything. we just asked questions, and they answered them. And there were little miracles, little future predictions, but the interesting thing was I was asking all these questions about David's channelings and what was coming through David in terms of the shift, and I got exactly the same answers. Oh, I better start my tape recorder. Okay, hang on.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
So, I learned a lot from these conversations, and I also learned, and actually this was something that was my initial idea to this idea, to this concept came from Wilcox's channelings, where the Ra group said, we can communicate with you, send your energy up through the top of your head, and then it'll come back down through, and we'll be sending energy back down, something like that. And so in these conversations with these group souls, that started to happen, and then those of you that have been on these conference calls, particularly our Sunday call, we do, that's like the theme of the call. We make those connections and everybody feels the energies. And it's very, very, most people have very uplifted experience. So on tonight's call, the Monday call, we have conversations with a voice that has identified itself as a combination of the Ra group and the Elohim group. That's what they say. I never tell anyone to believe anything, but to evaluate by the energy you feel on the call and the wisdom and the resonance with the source. And many people have had phenomenal experiences as a result of listening to our calls and checking in with this material. So, are you there, Jerry?
Lynn, can you hear me? Your vocal quality is pretty poor. I don't know if you're...
I'm here.
I don't know if I'm... Hi, can you hear me now?
It is still the same. It's like almost cutting in and out. Unless it's on my end.
You know what? Let me just mute everybody. Well, no, if I mute everybody, you'll be muted. You know, we're using a conference line, and I can't control... Terry, is it cutting out for you?
No. But
no.
I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
I'm on the radio.
That. I can't quite control how the vocal sound on the conference line. So I think it'll record on the BBS call, okay? And so there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's my relationship to the microphone. But I haven't moved it since we started, so.
Very clear from there.
Very clear from there. Okay, let me do this.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
All right. So... this is Lynn, and this is Terry, and thank you all for being here, and we're going to create a little field between us, space and energy. We're going to connect our, we'll just do our little invocation. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the center of the galaxy, through all the planetary fields, through the energy fields of Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the earth. And right now, for those of you that are comfortable, we're going to invoke a group energy. And that means that even though we are physically in different locations, we are going to be open to connecting with each other beyond time and space in other dimensions. And just by the intention to do this, we do it all the time, particularly on our Sunday calls where it's very powerful. We do it a longer kind of little meditation to get into the space. But we create this energy, and if you shut your eyes, you can, some of you will feel the energy in the top of your head, and it's moving from out the top of your head, and you can't see where it's going, so just have faith that it keeps moving, and there's a place where we all can touch each other. And then we can invite these sources to service to other that are group souls to join with our energies. So we make a big affiliation, and some of you can feel it. The way it feels is you can't see the part that's in other dimensions, but you can feel the shift in your own body. It's kind of like if you're driving a car and you couldn't see the road, but you could see the speedometer. You could tell how fast you were going by the speedometer. And so when you go back looking into your body, it's like the speedometer and say, I feel something. The energy's up. And on that note, I will turn it over to Terry and the voice that speaks through Terry and have them greet us.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are pleased to be with each and every one of you today and welcome our new callers. When one makes the connection with us, one does not need to have the whole group present, but can make an individual connection by asking. Remember the feeling of the energy. That is how you can find us. Do you have questions?
Well, we've been having a conversation on the creation of DNA, and usually I talk longer, but everyone's saying, no matter how long we ask these questions, kind of answers are kind of really interesting, and one answer leads to about five more questions. So starting early, and to bring people up to speed, part of the group that talks to us, speaking to us through Terry, identifies itself as the Elohim. And I believe the Elohim is another word for what the Ra group calls Logos. And they have explained that they were part of the original creation of this realm. And originally there was a one infinite creator that subdivided. And the original subdivisions was the Elohim. And the Elohim were kind of scientists without bodies who were working with energies and frequencies and, you know, this is not something that the conscious mind is ever going to completely understand. So don't think you can. Just go along with it and see how it feels. I get a lot of emails from these conversations that people are having cognitions from it. So these energies, who were the Elohim, able to shoot frequencies, spinning frequencies, to create kind of a space, and they would intersect, and where one would shoot and another would shoot, and that would become a node. And a node was a point that was defining space and time. And eventually, we can go on from here, how nodes became consciousness. And the original consciousness was locked in. I'm going to have them correct me, because this is my understanding. The original consciousness was locked into the location of space and time very firmly. And that DNA, at least one of the aspects of DNA, was that it allowed a consciousness to expand beyond the specific location, node of space and time that it was in. And that the DNA strings were like antenna, and that each string would, when activated, would open up the consciousness to a different kind of expansion into the space-time continuum. So the first string, now I don't think I asked this. It's something I read, so they can confirm this. The first seven strings of DNA relate to the first seven chakras, which open up each of those areas of our body. The next five relate, there are 12 strands, the next five strands relate to expansion into the greater universe, into beyond space and time, so to speak, different areas of that. So now that I've kind of tried to explain it in human terms, I'll turn it over to our source, and they can kind of modify it and make it more precise from their perspective.
In order to have consciousness, there ideally needs be something to be aware of. One can be aware, but if nothing is there, then it gets really boring. There is no sensation and nothing going on. When the node tends to form, the individual created within the node began to have interference patterns that they could then see. And they could be conscious of these interference patterns and it created great joy that something was happening.
Could you get a little closer to, could you get closer to your microphone, please?
This one, the instrument has the microphone upside down. This may be better.
There we go. That's much better. Thank you.
Yes. This is a huge experiment in which we are one with the instrument and one with the raw group and one with the Elohim group, and we so can move into areas and perceive things that are happening or targets to view. It gives us a broader frequency that we may be perceived by your senses more readily in your realm. The nodes at start did not have much to perceive except interference patterns, darks and light shimmering. But this was a great wonder and a beautiful sensation of visual and even sound for those perceptible that had sensitivities that could perceive their environment in a greater spectrum than you currently have now within your physical body. The nodes and the interference patterns would interact, and the nodes discovered, the consciousness within the node discovered that they could move the interference patterns and make them move with their thought. They began to manifest images within themselves of the interference pattern moving in certain ways, and discovered that they could control the motion of the interference patterns. As they became more sophisticated in this, then they began working with creating geometric tetrahedrons and more sophisticated forms of focusing mechanisms with boundaries which would channel the energies. And they began to learn about torque and spinning, which, as we view the great galaxy that was created of spinning lights, it was almost giving these creators vertigo, as they weren't sure where to have their focus, within the spinningness or outside the spinningness. Then, as the spinning energies began to intertwine, it began to pulse as the energies ran up and down the intertwined cords. It was a time of discovery. Wow. Look at this. And then they realized that they were creating manifest life that was under its own power. We still have abilities to create and to disassemble matter. This helps us with the formation of the physical manifestation. Do you have other comment?
You know, while you were explaining interference patterns, the thought crossed my mind about something I learned about in physics a long time ago. I think it's commonly called in audio the Doppler effect. And that has to do when two frequencies cross each other, there are two additional frequencies that come into play that are the addition of the two frequencies and the separation of the two frequencies. A B beat, sometimes in radio, they're called the beat tones, the beat frequencies. And when you were sending frequencies, I assume there were frequencies that, for example, similar as you would use frequency in an audio tone or in a radio wave, megahertz, and that you were sending a frequency and another entity or another spirit form was sending a frequency, and maybe, I don't know how many were sending a frequency at the same time, and then watching the result when all the frequencies would combine and saying, wow, look at that. There's a galaxy or a star. I mean, I don't know. I'm just imagining. And was there a connection between these frequencies and these beat tones where there would be a new frequency and somehow that, I don't know if I'm grabbing this or I'm on the right track of intuiting it. So is there a connection there?
Yes, there is a connection in that when two frequencies intersected, there was sound. And there were multiplicities of sideways waves moving out in a circle in all directions. Horizontal waves of sound moving out, and it also created, when interference patterns came together with force, created intense waves, which could at times practically knock one over, blow one aside, since they weren't standing on something at the time. And when there was a particularly forceful being creating interference pattern, and it could create a lot of force and a lot of sound. When there is nothing, and then interference patterns begin to intercept, it can create a bang like a sonic boom as the two interface.
Now, are you saying that's how the Big Bang started?
That was originally the Big Bang. You scientists in your realm look at it from the bottom up. We look at it from the inside out of the awareness folding over on itself and creating that manifestation, learning that it could create a manifestation and run into another aspect of itself and create a giant effect with multiple interference patterns and sound moving out. It was overwhelming.
You know, there is, I've read that the Earth has a frequency to it. There's a resonant frequency to the Earth. And somehow, this frequency must be connected to what you're talking about. And perhaps everything that's in the universe has a frequency to it that it vibrates at. But I don't understand what I'm asking, except that I've heard and read the Earth has a resonant frequency. And in fact, I recall reading or hearing that that frequency is changing now as a result of the shift. Am I on the right track here?
Yes. There are various frequencies. The frequency of the Earth is vibrating at a higher rate based upon the movement of the solar system into a more dense area.
I don't hear you. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Speak, maybe speak closer into the microphone. And
yes.
Now, the frequencies that are coming in to the Earth, we're not even talking about DNA, the frequencies that are coming into the Earth right now as a result of this shift that's in progress, which is the end of a 75,000-year cycle, which is referred to in my book as toroid wave radiation, which is, I think this is the same thing you're talking about. It represents those frequencies. Are these frequencies that the Elohim set up as part of the original plan?
These are frequencies that are resulting from the manifestation of your star system, wherein the star system has a location wherein the Earth, when it moves through that location, is in more of alignment with the flat portion of the galaxy, and there is more space dust within the flat portion of the galaxy that is spinning off as your galaxy rotates. And periodically the Earth comes across this area of heavier density space dust. And it also is affected by the alignment with the center of the Unemku, and therefore it is more intense radiation at this location in relationship to your galaxy than at other times.
So it's not that the energy is increasing, it's that the Earth is moving into an area of more dense energy. And that's
more dense energy and higher energy.
And higher energy. And that at this point, the source energy is not messing or changing anything. It was set in place over a long period of time that as the universe and planets and solar systems move, that they would all be moving through these areas of different energies
which would affect everything in that particular physicalness that was moving through the energy.
Yes.
So it started out... Go ahead.
Everything is a relationship. It is in alignment now more with the center and seen through more space, more mass, and so has a greater toroid energy.
Now, in this whole creation process, we've talked about shooting frequencies, cross-referencing. Was it extremely refined mathematical shooting frequencies crossing each other that created the first DNA? And like originally, might I assume that originally there was no DNA? It was, if there was a life form, it was a localized life form stuck in time and space at a location, only aware of the location that it was at. And maybe that localized life form was a mineral. I don't know, the minerals have consciousness or
yes.
And then there had to be this excitement of trying to figure this out, since it had never been figured out before. So somehow creating what was just minerals and rocks turned into awareness, and awareness turned into the potential for expanded awareness, and that DNA came into that formulation at some point, and somebody had the idea that one of you guys had the idea of creating an awareness that could expand itself and not just be stuck in time and space in its cross-reference node, but could actually increase its awareness ultimately to be part of all that is, so that it was on the inside of creation and could expand to all that is, where it was originally stuck in a node. That's as far as I can. Could you explain that?
There are several different strings within what you're talking about. We originally were and still are the creators of matter, and we can move it around, and we have awareness and ability to perceive that is beyond the general body type individual who is stuck in a body, or even an individual stuck in a node, as we perceive these things taking place. And we were able to use our abilities, which are also your abilities, when you get free of othernesses you have taken on, you have these abilities to move in and out of things and to not be stuck. When one is stuck within the DNA or stuck within a node, one is bounded and does not have the viewpoint to move in and out of that unless, this will sound funny, unless they do have it, which is possible that they can move in and out. We keep a section of us free so that we can keep the candle burning and the knowledge available should individuals, which they do when they get stuck in areas, they lose the knowledge of how to go in and out and create and to dismantle. It is like a builder, and we keep ourselves free, and it is a joy to be able to move in and out and to be able to connect with each and every one of you here. As sometimes we look at the creations and the creations cannot see us back, and it is frustrating because we have so much love to give, and we see knowledge forgotten, abilities forgotten and forsaken and not even known about. And it is a real honor to be able to connect with you and each one here.
So in this realm, this is a fairly rare and unusual type of communication occurring, I would guess.
Yes, it is very rare, as individuals generally do not look to the higher frequencies or look, we might say, up to see us or know that we are there. We are your brothers and sisters, although we have no sex. We are like a unisex. We move in and out, and we may share space with you and experience what you experience.
So right at this moment, you are not just talking to us, but you are also sharing space with us, those that are open to having that experience. Is that correct?
That is correct. And with our abilities and our caring and our love, we offer assistance should one ask. One needs to ask, and then we know that they would like something changed, something better, something more different, as they are creating things as they are, and we cannot dishonor that. We have to honor what they are creating.
So we have about 2 minutes left, 2 or 3 minutes. And since you brought up this idea of asking, and since there's a number of people on the line, I'm going to just go with what you're saying, and that you are bilocated into the space of each person who is open to having this experience, and some people feel that energy, if they silently ask, and since there's a bunch of you watching, if they ask silently, can you feel their request?
Yes, each and every one of them.
Okay. So why don't we take this opportunity, just take a minute of silence, and I think those of you that have been on the line regularly know the criteria in asking for something. Ask for the highest good of all concerned. Ask something that does not violate the free will of anyone else. Understanding that certain people, even when they're in painful conditions, they need to go through that as part of their own learning curve, and it can't be taken away from them until they learn the lesson. So let's take a moment of silence and ask for what you would like. And perhaps remember also that the more the degree, the higher the degree of planetary service in your request, the easier it is for them to help. I believe that's true.
You might also write your wish and put it away.
Write it
and
down right now.
Write it
while,
write
yes, okay.
down and put it away as your investigator in your realm has discovered. When you write love on a bottle of water, the structure changes. When you write which thing you wish on a piece of paper and put it there somewhere safe and protected, it is like writing it for the universe.
Okay, we're at 7:51, so we only have already over, so we'll take 30 to 45 seconds, write it down. And then we'll close this session, and next week we'll have Carla Ruckert on as my guest, and then we'll continue these conversations the week following. Here's our moment of silence.